The last time we talked, we didn't get a chance to talk about state government because you were so fired up about what's going on here in the city of Lansing, not only as a writer, but as a resident. And I found that very compelling because after our conversation, you know, what you seem to stress is that, number one, city government did a poor job in explaining and in advertising what this millage really did, what it entailed, and you thought that us as citizens really weren't as educated as we needed to be about this, especially from the fact that since home prices are down, your taxes really weren't going to increase.
Yeah, and I think that if I think that it's possible that we could see this millage again. I mean, we do have a citywide election coming up, two of them. I mean, we've got the primary in August, and we have the general in November. And I think it's possible that we could see it again. I mean, it doesn't necessarily hurt. Obviously, if it loses again, then, you know, it's pretty much a dead duck. But, you know, it's possible that they could do it again. I've already heard some rumblings about maybe putting it back on again, because I don't know if everybody who wanted to vote for that got a chance to vote. I mean, I think they may have been a little lackadaisical. I think supporters were lackadaisical. I was lackadaisical. I think we just thought or assumed that it was going to go. And the people who, you know, were just philosophically opposed and not educated on exactly what this did just went ahead and voted no. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it again, Tony.
Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about what the mayor's plan is for the former Red Cedar golf area and that whole corridor after the mayor's press conference this morning.
Yeah, and, you know, it's part of privatizing some of functions of city government. I mean, we're at that point of selling assets, unfortunately, and that's part of what we're going to find out. Also, what we're going to find out this week, Tony, is we're going to find out who's running for city council. I think that should be interesting. I think that first ward race is going to be interesting. I heard rumblings that Eric Hewitt isn't going to be coming back. So, you know, it's that could open things up quite a bit. And then we've got, you know, a couple at-large bids up, and then Aylin Robinson's going to be seeking re-election. So there's a lot of races to look out for on Tuesday and who's going to file.
And we were also talking about the fact that Virge Bonero's family might continue the political process with his daughter jumping in a race.
Yeah, you know, she's starting to talk more openly about it. I mean, when I wrote about it, she wasn't talking, but now she's talking a little bit. And, you know, we're going to see what kind of district she's going to be running in here fairly soon. They're going to be redrawing districts this year. And as a matter of fact, I bring this up because MERS is going to be, and MERS is my full-time job, we're going to be introducing some maps today as to what congressional districts could be looking like as far as redistricting.
Ooh,
you know,
talk a little bit about that, Kyle.
Well, you know, we're going to be losing a congressional seat this year because Michigan did not gain population like other states gained. So we're going from 15 congressional districts to 14. And so we teamed up with Ed Zarpolis, who former pollster for Epic MRA. He's got his own gig now called Target Insight. And we commissioned some polls with him. We said, hey, just show us some scenarios, what X and X could look like. And he's done some districts in Detroit for us. Well, today he did an entire congressional map and what it would look like if we tried to make them all compact and we tried to make them as politically even as possible, where we had roughly about as many Republican as Democratic seats. And in Michigan we can do that because we are a very much a split state. We are about as close to 50-50 as you're going to get, a little bit more Democratic than Republican. But you can draw districts in this state that half of them are Republican and half of them are Democrat, and that's what we were able to do. And, in fact, not only did we do that, but we made a good number of them competitive. We have four districts out of the 14 that are split pretty much right down the middle, 50-50, and another three or four that you could argue are competitive. So, I mean, eight out of the 14, that's not too bad. So we're very pleased, and we're going to introduce those today at a press conference at 2 o'clock. Very excited about it.
All right. We look forward to that, Kyle. Well, the budgets, especially the education budget, has gone through the House. The Senate's getting their gloves on it, and then we're going to have to find resolution between what those entities want and what the governor wants. Where do you think we stand?
Well, yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, this is going to be a procedural week where each chamber rejects the the other chamber's budget. And that's just a procedural thing. I don't, nobody should read anything into that at all. That's just how things go. And then the next week, on the 16th, we're going to have the Consensus Revenue Estimating Conference, where the state economists get together and they decide how much money they think we're going to have going forward. And that's when things really, when the rubber really hits the road. We're going to get some final numbers on how much money we're going to be bringing in. And at that point, the House and Senate are going to get together and they're going to work out their differences. And since we have both Republican parties in the, or we have Republican parties in both the House and the Senate, this should be a very quick situation, as opposed to the years past when we had Democrats in the House and Republicans in the Senate. I think we're going to have some pretty quick resolution here.
All right, before we let you go, Kyle, any new news on the bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
No, I don't. I think that's been kind of put on the back burner until the budget's over, until the tax plan's over. I think at that point, you know, when our attention is, can be focused on the bridge, I think that's when it's going to be focused. There's no need to inject that in there right now. You know, the legislature can only handle so many things at one time. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get into that in earnest in June.
What you think of the governor's portrait that was released? And by governor, I mean Governor Jennifer Granholm.
Well, she had a ton of props in that picture, I got to say. You know, the bookcase just opens everything up. You know, she had a bookcase there that had all sorts of, you know, the world is flat and all that kind of stuff. You know, a lot of the books that she talked about during her tenure, and she, of course, she had the family portrait, and she was looking out the window, a lot of symbolism. And but all in all, I mean, she made that a great gathering and had a lot of people there and a lot of interest. And, you know, it's just a nice occasion all around.
A couple more quick things. We saw on the newsletter today, the Attorney General has announced that he's filed a lawsuit against the civil service. Talk about that.
Yeah, he did. And that goes back to their decision to allow state employees to have their benefits extended to their live-in boyfriends or girlfriends, folks who have lived with them for at least a year. And it's either same-sex or opposite-sex. And remember, the House and the Senate tried to reject that proposal, but they needed two-thirds votes in each chamber to do it. That happened in the Senate, didn't happen in the House because they don't have two-thirds majority Republicans. And so that policy is going to stand, and there's not anything anybody can do about it, but the Attorney General is going to give it a whack, and he's going to try and sue the Civil Service Commission's decision and see where they, what kind of traction they can get with that. It's a little bit of a long shot. It could be more of a policy thing, or it could be something that gets worked out as Governor Rick Snyder takes these employee unions to the bargaining table and asks for concessions. I think that's probably where this thing ends up. Remember, he's asking for a lot of concessions for state employees, and I think we sometimes may forget about it. And it's very possible that this live-in boyfriend-girlfriend partnership benefit thing could be a casualty of those discussions.
And then finally, Kyle, on the newsletter, you talk about how meddling with the use could land the state in court if the final budget financially dings university over same-sex benefits and requires reporting on embryonic cell research activities.
Yeah.
That's what I find interesting.
Yeah, another sop to the far right and Right to Life, and you know those right social issues that Snyder doesn't like to deal with, and just I think it kind of infuriates obviously the Democrats and gets something that they can get all riled up about. You know, sometimes in the process the Republicans make you know these kind of issues and bring them up as bargaining chips for later, and I think it's very possible these could just be bargaining chips. Maybe give something to bring to the table with Snyder so they can get something maybe they really want in exchange for, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I don't know if it's a bargaining chip or not, these, you know, the embryonic stem cell language or the other language that they put in concerning holding back some money from universities who offer same-sex partner benefits. But either way, it's just something to infuriate Snyder and just something to bring into the budget discussions, get people riled up.
All right, Kyle, before we let you go, plug that press conference and the news story that you're going to be putting on.
Yeah, absolutely. At 2 o'clock at the Capitol today in room 428. We're going to be releasing some maps, MERS newsletter and Target Insight. We're going to be releasing some maps on what the congressional districts could look like going forward that would be even split between Republicans and Democrats.
All right. He is the editor of the MERS newsletter, Kyle Malin. Thanks so much, Kyle.
My pleasure, Tony.